The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have two cases for argument this morning. Three others are on the calendar but are being decided on the briefs. First case is Trustees of Columbia University versus Illumina, 2019-2302. Mr. Murnane, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Columbia believes that Judge Worth's dissent, which noted that Metzger in 1994 discouraged the development of a labeled allele-capped nucleotide, eroded any motivation that may have been created by Chen to pursue that nucleotide. The majority, despite acknowledging uncertainty, concerns, obstacles regarding Metzger 1994's allele, still found that Chen's prophetic disclosures and the possibility of modifying Metzger's reaction conditions would have motivated a person of skill in the art to develop the labeled allele-capped nucleotides with a reasonable expectation that it would work for SBS.
Mr. Murnane, when I look at these patents, I see 28 columns of prior art cited, hundreds of references. And the only ethical reason for citing all those references is to help the examiner determine whether the claims are patentable. This obviously is a crowded art, and these claims seem to be essentially known compounds with a generic protective group, which includes allele, and isn't that essentially what these claims are? Known compounds with a known type of protective group.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would respectfully submit that what these claims cover is the breakthrough invention by Columbia. The Columbia inventors were the first to recognize the problem that had plagued efforts to achieve SBS for more than 10 years. The Columbia
But they claimed compounds. When you look at claims to compounds, you look at how they differ from the prior art. And isn't essentially the only way they differ here is with the protective group, particularly allele, which was known?
The discovery of the inventors, as reflected by the specifications of the patents, the prior art in columns 1 and 2, Your Honor, mentioned all of that is incorporated by reference fully. And then the invention, which is described at the bottom of column 2 to the top of column 3 in each patent, is the Columbia inventors' recognition, only recognition by anyone, that the active site of the polymerase was very crowded. And up till that time, that had not been appreciated. Columbia appreciated that the capping group had to be small. It could not be a ketone. It could not be a methoxy. It could not be an ester. That's what the claim describes and recites. Previously, beginning with Chen in the early 90s, the preferred compound was a 2-nitrobenzyl, which is not small. Metzger, in 1994, cognizant of Chen, also focused on the 2-nitrobenzyl, said it was ideal. Thereafter, in the later 1990s, others focused on the 2-nitrobenzyl. Well,
even if allyl is not the best, it was known in the art.
Allyl was known. It was mentioned in the D-blocking groups, not the preferred capping groups of Chen. It was mentioned in the D-blocking groups of Chen. We take issue with the majority calling it prominently noted. We don't believe it was prominent. It was noted. The words appear allyl ether together with mercury D-blocking. However, it was then tested. It was tested. And by the way, Metzger's paper considered it a novel compound. Metzger, aware of Chen, considered it a novel compound. And Metzger, when testing it, found it to be a problem. Metzger said many times.
Counsel, so what you're saying is you concede that the board made a factual finding that Chen does disclose this. And so as I understand it, your primary argument is that Metzger then somehow backs away from it and says, no, it may have been disclosed there, but it doesn't work. Is that right?
With one caveat, Your Honor. Metzger doesn't say it may have been disclosed in Chen because Metzger says it's a novel compound for Metzger. So Metzger doesn't acknowledge it was disclosed in Chen. But the word allele-ether appears in Chen. But Metzger evaluated it, and Metzger says throughout Metzger, you have to have terminators, whether it's for Sanger sequencing, whether it's for SBS, you have to have terminators.
But Metzger Table 2 says that it did terminate it, just not completely, right?
It says there was a problem. If you look at Table 2, there's an asterisk, and then at the bottom of the table, when it says what the asterisk means, it says it means that the activity was incomplete at the high concentration of 250 micromoles. That means
Dr. Romsberg's testimony filled in the gap and said that a person of skill in the art would have understood what was shown and would have understood that what they were doing is showing that it can be terminated.
Are you
debating the factual findings?
No, we're not, Your Honor. We believe there is no evidence that the allele is a terminator. Metzger is very clear. It says many times in the paper what terminators are, and it does not say that the allele is a terminator. It does not say that, Your Honor. And what Romsberg acknowledges the problem. He says, well, to make it better, you could increase the reaction time, which is at odds with the Chen criteria, which is you have to have it rapid. And Romsberg also says you can increase the concentration. Well, the concentration that Metzger was using was already very high, 250 micromoles. Chen, which provided the guidelines, said 30 micromoles is what you were supposed to be using. And Romsberg in testimony has indicated that you have to have the conditions of Chen. So we don't believe that Romsberg's remedy, and neither did Judge Wirth in dissent, because when Romsberg was pointing to what could be
Judge
done
Wirth
with
just
the...
simply said that he disagreed with the credibility finding, right?
Your Honor, he made a very important point. Respectfully, he made a very important point. He said that Romsberg was saying, take a look at what was done in Metzger to raise the concentration, and those were Sanger sequencing, the methyl cation. Methyl and allyl are different. Methyl is a one-carbon compound. Allyl is a three-carbon compound. And when Metzger was raising the concentration for the Sanger sequencing compound, there are only three terminators there, 1, 8, and 7. 1 and 8 are for Sanger. 7 is the 2-nitrobenzyl for SBS. And he points out that raising that concentration was for the Sanger sequencing compounds. No raising of the concentration for the SBS, because SBS requires lower concentration. Sanger sequence, you can have higher concentration to increase the incorporation, because that's a different situation in Sanger sequencing. Also, the majority said that there was increasing some concentration of compounds, but those were uncapped compounds. So respectfully, Your Honor, we believe that there is no evidence, and it's in both our opening brief and our reply brief, that there isn't substantial evidence. In other words, the evidence that one looks at, based on the OSI case, that would justify or detract from the agency's decision. We believe that the majority of all the evidence, when one looks at all the evidence, it detracts from the majority's decision.
Yes,
Your Honor, plenty. If I may, what we have here is the Columbia inventors recognizing the need for a cap, which would solve the problem of the prior art. Welsh, in 1999, said that we have to get new polymerases because we've been trying these 2-nitrobenzyl. They had a label 2-nitrobenzyl. And by the way, in column 2 of the patents, the Columbia inventors know about, note Welsh. And right before the filing, the Stempel published application a month before the filing said the inefficiency in SBS had been a plague. Everyone had been trying to achieve SBS. Chen pointed to 2-nitrobenzyl. Metzger directed to 2-nitrobenzyl. Everyone else was following 2-nitrobenzyl. It was the wrong way to go. Remember, this is the title of our patent is the massive parallel it's the massive parallel method for decoding DNA and RNA. SBS is performed simultaneously on a large number of identical DNA templates in order to simplify.
These are claims to compounds. These are claims to compounds, and they have to be compared with other compounds. And you're emphasizing the importance of allele, which is itself in the prior art. We're not talking about mechanisms here. We're talking about compounds.
And these compounds are, if we take a look at the compounds, the claim language in the compounds, the cap is stable during a DNA polymerase reaction. So this compound is to take place, is to be used in a DNA polymerase reaction. And it is the analog is incorporated at the end of a growing strand of DNA during a DNA polymerase reaction, Your Honor. So the compound, in order to satisfy those elements of the claim, has to be small. It cannot be a ketone. It cannot be a methoxy. It cannot be an ester. And nobody appreciated that until Columbia. Prior to that, people were looking, and in fact, Chen and Metzger and others were using not small caps. They were using methoxy. They were using ketones. Speak again in my rebuttal, Your Honors.
We will save that for you, Mr. Bernay. Mr. Reines.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, put your finger on it. The use of a allele ether as a blocking group, also known as a protecting group or a terminating group, was established in the prior art. And the question that was asked of Columbia, whether this was a fact dispute or not, the answer was there was no evidence that allele is a terminator. And that was emphasized as the central point and the central argument on this appeal.
This is Judge Reyna. Was termination actually established in the prior art, or was that a factor that was left incomplete?
Well, you start with the Shen reference, is that A3430, and it states specifically allele ethers are described as a terminating group, that is a protecting group. And I don't think there's any real doubt about that. That was the main dispute down in front of the board, and that was not appealed. So
what are we supposed to do with the fact that you made the opposite argument with respect to what Chen shows during the re-exam?
A predecessor in a different proceeding made the argument that Chen was prophetic, and I have two responses on that. One is there's no appeal of the estoppel, so it's just, you know, an evaluation of the evidence here and whether the evidence supports the board. And, you know, it's a known compound that allele ethers are a terminator, as set forth on, you know, on page 24 of Chen. And beyond that, the Metzger reference reinforces the point. You know, going back to Judge Rayner, and I think addressing your question, Judge O'Malley, the Metzger reference reinforces the point by stating that there is termination. Now, one subtlety here is that the parties are in agreement that termination is the same thing as incorporation. If you get the blocking group incorporated, then you're terminating. There's no debate about that. That's on page 16 and 17 of their opening brief. That's their point, that if you have incomplete incorporation, you have incomplete termination, and that's their argument. Yet, and this, I think, really just nails it, yet with respect to Metzger himself, when he describes blocking groups incorporate, he specific, and this is on A3506, he says, the protecting groups containing ether linkages at the 3' position compounds 1, 3, 4, 7, and 8 were incorporated by some of the polymerases. This is in the text of, forget the table, but this is in the text. So there's no caveat that it was partially incorporated or not, that only some of them incorporated and it wasn't absolutely complete.
Mr. Reines, what are we to make of B, C, and D, particularly B and C, functional limitations in the claim? Don't those distinguish the structural, the otherwise structural definitions, and perhaps lead to a conclusion that these are unexpected properties and the claims are non-obvious?
I think that the board's finding that each of the claim requirements are met is fully supported. And in terms of the function of it being a terminator, that is clearly satisfied. I think both in Metzger and in Chen. But just to make that point about the functional aspect of it, not only does Metzger in the text, this is on, again, 3506, state without caveat that it's incorporated by the polymerase. Also, in the Ju patent itself, right, in the Ju patent itself, counsel saying the invention is described in column 2 and 3, that's the background of the invention, okay? That's not the summary of the invention, which relates to binding to a solid support. But at column 3, at lines 28 through 30, it states the allele was also shown to be incorporated in the growing strand in Metzger. So there was no statement that it was partially incorporated or that incorporation wasn't complete for all the different molecules. Both Metzger and the patent itself state without caveat that their incorporation is achieved. The only issue is the asterisk in the table, which said, oh, by the way, it wasn't complete. And with that, I think it's very important to realize, and this is the debate that the dissent had, which is completely a factual debate, and I think Judge O'Malley is right on it with stating that all Judge worked was registered a disagreement that he was not persuaded by one expert, over another. He wasn't implying anything that there was a legal issue there. But with respect to completing the incorporation, increasing the concentration of the terminated nucleotides, the alleles, putting more of the allele groups in, would obviously improve termination. And that is supported by...
What's your response to your friend on the other side who argues that that increased concentration takes you so far away from the teachings of Chen that you're otherwise not really practicing what Chen taught?
Well, I'm delighted you raised that, because both the board recognized and Chen states that, this is at A3426, Chen specifically states in very understandable language, and they got a lot of this is debates about very technical stuff, and the panel was obviously very technically astute. With their, you can read that in the opinion. But at 34206, this is page 20 of Chen, at line 20, it states, in addition to force the reaction, that is to get it to complete for every single molecule, not just most, especially with derivatized DNTPs, that's what we're talking about, derivatized nucleotides, the derivatized because they've got the blocking room. It may often be helpful to use substantial excess over stoichiometry of the DNTPs. So Chen is saying, okay, if you want to drive the reaction to completion, put more of a concentration of the alleles in the mixture. And it's, first of all, that's just intuitive. I don't know why that would be surprising that if you put more in. And just to how fact-bound this is, I thought Professor Romsberg did a great job of explaining that in Metzger's single experiment. He included natural nucleotides in there. And so there was competition, and obviously the natural nucleotides are going to incorporate better. And that one, the skill in the art reviewing Metzger would understand that that the presence of the natural nucleotides created more competition for the derivatized ones. But in any event, increasing the concentration, he describes how you would know about that. That Metzger itself taught it. Chen taught it, as I just pointed the panel to, this again, A3426. So Judge O'Malley, I understand the concern, but when Chen himself is saying, if you really want to drive the incorporation to completion for your termination, put substantial excess of the derivatized compounds in, that's just basic chemistry. And so you would have to work through all of Romsberg on that, paragraph 65 through 67 and 75 through 76, and look at Metzger. And then there's the citation by the board to the different figures and teachings in Metzger about increasing concentration. So I think the debate about, well, it might get to be too much that people at some point would think, well, we've saturated with too many of the derivatized nucleotides. First of all, I don't think that's supported in the record, but even if it was, that's exactly the type of in-depth factual dispute over detailed technical matter where there are three judges, with technical expertise in this area and day-to-day expertise, looked at it closely, and that's the conclusion they came to. I do not think that's a legal question, and I certainly don't think counsel's statement that there's no evidence that allyl is a terminator after being described as a blocking group in Chen, after Metzger proved that it would work, although he said, ultimately there wasn't completion. And really the insult, the injury of it is the Ju patent doesn't ever acknowledge that Metzger said there was a problem with allyl. In the background of the invention,
with Metzger though, I mean, having pointed to other options as apparently better options, why isn't this a case like OSI?
This isn't like OSI. OSI was a problem where there'd been thousands and thousands of compounds that had been tested, and there's just no resemblance. And not only that, starting where we began with Judge Lurie's astute comment that this is a known compound, Chen teaches using the allyl as a terminator. So it's known out there. It's not like it was unknown and you had to put two references together to combine it. In OSI, it was taking this disparate teaching and that disparate teaching and say, okay, you put these two things together and create the compound. And the argument was, well, people would have done that when they were scanning through thousands and thousands of failures. Plus
Mr. Reines, when I look at these patents, they're of fairly recent vintage in terms of issuance, but they go back to the year 2000. Did they have a difficult prosecution? It looked like 10 or 12 continuations. Do you know any of the history?
Yeah, I have some experience with the history. This has been going on for almost 10 years. They've been, after Illumina's, groundbreaking DNA sequencing system came out in 2006, 2007, which doesn't use allele. It actually uses a different capping group, but they're trying to encompass it with this concept of small. After that came out, they've been trying to craft claims that they can get through, and they had a set of claims that got invalidated, and this court, a different panel, but this court upheld those invalidations. And so it's been a cat-and-mouse chase of the classic type, and in fact, we're in district court now, and the PTAB has instituted on four more patents of theirs that attempted to change the claims in view of the invalidations in this proceeding. So the history is ample, and it's an attempt to mine the background of the invention. The patent, if the Jew patent said to it that Metzger had problems, and we've discovered that you can complete termination this way, and here's data about it, that would be one thing. But when they have a statement in column 3, between line 25 and 30, unqualified, that, oh, by the way, Metzger says you can incorporate allele as a statement of the prior art without, but it may not work, but you may have to increase concentration or reaction time, or even though Metzger thought it didn't incorporate, it really does. None of that. So insofar as the complaint about Chen, who's a Nobel laureate, as being just prophetic, that's what, I'm not sure what prophetic is necessarily a bad thing in the sense that Chen is, saw well, that's prophetic. Their patent is prophetic. They don't have data. They didn't take the allele ethers and test them to see whether they could run them to conclusion, that maybe Metzger oversaw something and that they could do completed determination. They just assumed that it worked for the same reason that in the body of Metzger, it just says incorporation is achieved without saying, oh, and it's got a defect or it's a shortcoming or something like that. And then the only thing I'd say is, and counsel didn't push this in his opening, which I guess I respect in that sense, but much of the appeal briefing was this attempt to sort of argue secondary considerations when there was no effort to define a long-felt need to prove up that need was satisfied, which wasn't proved, which wouldn't have been able to be proved up. I mean, a lot of the appeal in the appellate brief is, this argument about secondary considerations and long-felt need, and that was never argued whatsoever oral argument.
Counsel, this is Judge Reina. Can you comment briefly on the supplemental authority that was submitted by Columbia and how we should consider that in view of your arguments?
To be honest with you, Judge Reina, I don't offhand know what you're referring to. So maybe I overlooked that, but
okay.
That's my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reina. Hernane has 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. With respect to the comment by Illumina's counsel that the patents, the Columbia patents, say nothing about the problems of Metzger. In column 2, after discussing Sanger sequencing, people trying to make SBS, cite Metzger. It cites Metzger. If we look at the 139 patents, column 2, line 30, Metzger cited as having been attempting SBS. And right after that, the very next sentence said that it was unsuccessful. And then In the paragraph below that, there's the talk about Welsh, and that was a problem. And the problem was it was too big. And the appreciation of solving the problem is then the bottom of column 2 to the top of column 3. Metzger taught the allele would not work. Columbia taught that it would. The 2-nitrobenzyl was taught by Metzger to work. Columbia taught that it wouldn't work.
I don't see that in the patent, them saying that Metzger says it doesn't work. I mean, I read that as reliance on Metzger.
Excuse me. I'm focusing on column 2, Your Honor, Judge O'Malley.
Okay.
Yeah, right after Metzger is cited, it says, thus far, no complete success of using such a system to unambiguously sequence DNA has been reported. The unambiguous sequencing, that's SBS. Metzger did not teach SBS. It did not have the sequencing. And everything that is now attributed to Metzger, because in column 3, all the client has done there, what Columbia has done is say, You have to have it small. It can't be ketone, ester, or methoxy. It says you can use allele. Metzger doesn't say why he had a problem. He said afterwards three times in 1998, in 2007, and 2011, he said that was a problem. Allele was a problem. But he doesn't say in 1994 why it's a problem. Dr. Ju and his colleagues, they appreciated why. And we know the Leo case says appreciation, recognition of a problem can be invention. They discovered the solution to the problem.
The patent says no complete success. That doesn't say that it doesn't work. It says no complete success.
Forgive me, Your Honor. I'm sorry. But, Your Honor, it's a very detailed paper. And from the beginning to the end, it talks about terminators. We've cited the pages in our briefs. From the beginning to the end, it talks about terminators. The allele is not a terminator. There were three terminators. The methoxy cap compounds 1 and 8 for Sanger sequencing. The 2-nitrobenzyl compounds 7 for SBS. Those are the only terminators. In the patent in suit, when we talk about terminators, we talk about them
finish your thought, please.
We mentioned, if we look at Appendix 328, 329, and 338, our compounds are terminators. We don't say Metzger is a terminator. We say Metzger teaches you how to do what Metzger said. That's all it says. If you want to make an allele cap, you can look at Metzger. You can also look at something else. But it doesn't say that it's a terminator. Metzger didn't appreciate. He didn't have any idea what was wrong with it. Our Columbia inventors did appreciate it had to be small. It had to be not a ketone, not a methoxy, not an ester. No one else did that. They broke the bottleneck. And by the way, Your Honor, also in response to your question earlier, we also have a patent with method claims.
I know what it's saying. All right. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate both arguments, and the case is submitted.